It's looking like a lean Christmas this year for Americans, as Mitch McConnell plays the part of Scrooge in a COVID-ravaged economy. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. The Biden cabinet continues to take shape this week. Janet Yellen for Secretary of the Treasury and Neera Tanden for Budget Chief. More economic side of things this week. What do you make of it, Ed?
Well, these are all, again, seasoned professionals that he knows personally. They're not people who has to give a tryout to. They're not people who don't know their way around budgets and government budgets and all the kinds of things you need to know about to do this job well. He's very cautious in this regard. He threw one bone to the progressives, Neera Tanden, who is progressive, but not radical. So the progressives feel she's not good enough, and the conservatives feel she's too good, but no one says she's incompetent. So, and of course, you're going to say anything against Yellen? Not possible. You know, she's right up there with some of the stars of the economy of all time and is an excellent pick. No one's going to oppose her. And the great thing about her is the people at the Fed will respect her, the people in the economy will respect her, and the people on Wall Street will respect her. I ran into her once in Brisbane. She is very short.
Somewhat unsurprisingly, Republicans are not happy with some labelling Neera Tanden as radioactive. Most Republicans won't even acknowledge Biden is president, but they're sure as hell gearing up to give him a lot of trouble when he takes office. What's the nomination and confirmation process going to look like, Ed?
It's hard to tell. Clearly, Georgia is going to make a very big difference here. If you win one seat in Georgia, people are going to be a little cautious. If you win both, of course, you can throw caution to the wind. So this is a very interesting time. I hope Trump goes down there and says, don't mail in your ballots. And there are a lot of people saying they're going to write him in. So Georgia's the key here. The confirmations, they'll get through. The question is whether they'll be bruising or not.
We haven't talked COVID in a few weeks, and that's really because nothing's essentially happening. I mean, in terms of the current administration isn't doing anything about it, and people unfortunately just keep dying. We're past 270,000 deaths in the United States. This week, Special Advisor and Trump yes-man Scott Atlas quit his post. It just looks like an outright surrender at this point.
Yeah, it's terrible. And you know, there's a bipartisan bill to provide the kinds of things people need, the unemployment insurance extended, workers being able to get that extra money, plus the housing moratorium, and a number of other small bits and pieces and a little bit thrown at COVID relief. But I think it's $900 billion, not enough to do very much, but at least it'll get people through this cold, hard winter. I can't figure out why the Republicans don't seem to care. And of course, the president is still running around talking about what he's going to do next, which is run for president, rather than talking about what he can do now for the people of the United States. It is very, very weird. I feel more distant from this than I've ever felt from any of the stuff that's gone on because the president has no stakes and the incoming president has no power yet.
It almost seems, as you say, I mean, Trump is essentially, if anything, he wants to punish the country for not returning him to the presidency. And I guess Republicans, ultimately, they got back in. in all of those seats they were worried about. It seems their voters, they've got those voters on side, even though the voters are the ones suffering from this, they don't seem to care.
Yeah, it is strange. You'd think they'd want to give people a Christmas present, a little turkey in the stocking or whatever, to let people know that they're relevant to their lives, but they're not doing it at all. It's a real mystery to me because all these Republicans have to go up for re-election at some point. It's not just keeping your job. You made an oath to take care of the people and do the best you can. This is a strange, strange system where now power is more important than people.
Maybe Mitch McConnell is due for a visit from three phantoms over the course of the night.
Oh, who knows? Who knows? We need something to happen that's better than what's going on.
Of course, this reflects on the economy as well. The Dow Jones is up in response to a Biden victory. And I think the fact that post-election, in spite of all the rhetoric, there is a sense of stability about the progression of what's happening. The economy, though, it continues to look weak. How precarious are things, you know, Ed, at the moment when we are post-Black Friday, heading into Christmas, that time of year where for so many outlets, this should be their absolute golden season?
Yeah, it's, well, remember, a lot of stores have closed. And the place where you get that special present for Aunt Minnie or Uncle Sam or the nice toys and things like this, it's just not going to happen this year. Clearly, the upper middle class are doing well, but they're doing well cautiously. They're working from home, but some of their jobs are disappearing as well. As this thing gets tighter. I'm not sure what the next step is, but it's going to have to be, the Fed says, a gigantic infusion into the economy, not just a small one, but trillions will have to be infused in the economy to kickstart it. Biden actually is prepared for this. Remember, he went through the last downturn, the crash of the stock market. So he knows how to begin to fix these things. And he's putting in place people on his economic team that went through it with him. So they'll know how to steer the right course. The question on is, will the ship be so far underwater that it doesn't matter what they do? And moreover, if the Republicans are throwing people off the ship or putting bombs in the bottom of the ship, it's going to be very, very difficult.
I think we can probably expect them to start screaming bloody murder as well, you know, once the deficit starts going up, in spite of the fact, I mean, we've seen it increase $7 trillion under Trump.
Because Trump made that happen. It's who makes the deficit, not whether there's a deficit. And who cares about a deficit right now? Print the money. It really doesn't matter. You've got to get people back on their feet, get the economy pumping, and then you can put in some stringency measures, but not now.
Well, speaking of the current administration, things remain a bit of a shambles. All these Trump cases are amounting to nothing, with states certifying the results for Biden. The whole thing around Trump kind of looks more at the moment like a fundraising exercise, or perhaps more appropriately, a money con for Trump and raising money for whatever his next move is.
Well, he has raised money to pay for his debts. Some of those debts are to the cities and states that haven't been paid yet, where he held his rallies. And we're talking about millions and millions. And not just this past year, but before that, that campaign owes a lot of money. A lot of it is for his personal debt that we've heard an awful lot about. $400 million coming due very soon, personal debt associated with his places in Florida and the like. And his businesses are really going downhill. Trump Towers are not the thing anybody wants anywhere in the world. He also wants to raise money to defend himself against what he knows is going to happen. He will be up on charges for any thing you can imagine. I mean, federal charges, for example, for the obstruction of justice, which he could have been put up before, but because Mueller and others say the policy is not to disturb a sitting president, it does not go on to say that you can't disturb one who's not in office for the crimes he committed in office. Now he's going to try to pardon himself. And that's interesting. What do you think of that? Why would he try to pardon himself rather than having Pence do it?
As we say, Trump's pardoning frenzy has kind of begun. You know, we noted last week, and we've got Rudy Giuliani apparently angling for one. Trump, as you say, looking to pardon himself. We also found out this week that back in August, the Justice Department...
And his children.
Yeah, and his family as well, you're quite right to note. We noticed the Justice Department was investigating a potential bribery for pardon scheme in which large political contributions would be exchanged for presidential pardons. What's going on there, Ed?
Well, this could be one of several things. One, it could start with Giuliani and the Parnassus people. Remember, one of them said that they were trying to angle for a pardon and buy a pardon. And they were close to Giuliani, and they said the president. One of them inferred that they had put some money up. And this is maybe where this started. So they've copped a plea and suggested that it went all the way to the president or someone in the inner circle. And that's why this inquiry started. But I'm surprised it's gotten this far, because one would think that Barr would have put the kibosh to that. But some reason he hasn't. And maybe this is his ultimate revenge over the president. Because an investigation like this is going to follow him out of the door. And if he's up for this kind of pardon selling, the Supreme Court is not going to be very kind to him. My suspicion is the very reason he doesn't want the Vice President Pence to be near this is that Pence is a bit of a straight arrow, and Pence may not do it. That would be an absolute disaster if he resigned and then Pence says, nope, I'm going to do this and I'm going to keep the presidency till the end. Pence might do that. And I don't think the President Pence on that good of terms. What they were thinking they could do is Pence would pardon him under the 25th Amendment that he's too sick to carry on. Then 2 days later, he'd declare himself well and he'd become the president again. I don't think he trusts Pence that much. So he's in a very difficult position. And pardoning himself means the Supreme Court gets involved. And it's pretty clear to him, the Supreme Court is not his court. So where does he go from here? We have two things at play here. Him getting out of the things that he's into now with federal pardons, and then a time bomb when he gets out of office and that protection's expired. Wow.
Just before I leave you off, Ed, we also have this uncertainty around the bill to fund America's military with some $740 billion. Trump threatening to veto the entire bill unless it includes the possibility of sanctions for social media companies. This is a reflection on the White House's war with likes of Twitter, Facebook, Google, alleging they are biased against conservatives.
This is kind of silly, because Twitter has nothing to do with the military. And if he doesn't do this bill, he's just going to get the military mad at him. I suppose the old tank will work for two more months. Getting the military establishment mad at you in the United States is not a good idea. I think this is, you know, nothing. Nothing's going to happen here at all. You could be almost count on it. He has to do this bill, or he's just dooming his future.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and you won't miss a thing. And you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well at US of Ed.